This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. A regular contributor each week is meteorologist Jim Witt from theweatherwiz.com. Jim, let's talk about cold fronts since we're in the middle of January.
Okay, you know, cold fronts aren't just happening at the surface. They happen in the upper air as well. And as you remember last week, Mike, we talked about the jet stream, that high-velocity river of winds that snake through the sky up at about 30 or 40,000 feet. We also talked about ridges and troughs in the upper atmosphere connected with cold fronts. A ridge, for example, is like a mountain and a trough a valley. The ridge being a pocket of warm air while the trough contains cold air. Also important was the fact that high-pressure systems gain strength on the eastern side of a ridge, meaning cold air would stream south out of Canada and into the United States. Low-pressure systems or storms intensified on the eastern side of the trough and moved north and northeastward. So is that all we have to worry about, just making a forecast, see where the ridges and troughs are? The rest is a piece of cake? Well, not so fast. There are many other factors to take into account. As I mentioned, not only are there long-wave ridges and troughs, but there are also known short-waves ridges and troughs. These have much less amplitude than the long-range features, so long-wave features, and they move very quickly across the country. Many a day you'll hear the weatherman talk about a cold front racing across the country. Well, a cold front is the leading edge of cold air that is pushing into warm air. The greater the difference in temperature between the warm and cold air, the stronger the front. Now, most times a front, for example, a cold front, is associated with what we call a short-wave trough in the upper air. A short-wave trough is a small pocket of cold air as compared to the large pocket of cold air in the long-wave trough. Seems confusing, but not really. Now, see if you can picture this. You look at the upper air map of the United States, and you see a huge ridge, a mountain over the Rocky Mountain area, and a deep trough in the Ohio Valley. Off the west coast is a strong short-wave trough. As it approaches the long-wave ridge, it eats into it like a steamroller moving over a huge balloon. In fact, the top of the ridge, you could even see a dent made by the short-wave trough. The ridge is flattened out. Now, as the ridge flattens, the downstream trough to the east also weakens. The upper air flows from west to east, no longer moves up the ridge and down the trough. And the inexperienced meteorologist, he looks at the upper air and says, the upper air winds are zonal, meaning they're just flowing from west to east, no waves. Well, generally, zonal winds do not let cold air come from Canada or warm air move out of the Gulf. The coast is clear. No problems. Well, that's not the way it works. When the shortwave trough moves through the ridge and exits to the east of the ridge, that little pocket of cold air now races into the large pocket of cold air. It starts to dig deeper and deeper into the long-wave trough. In addition, since it no longer influences the ridge springs up as though a big load has been lifted from it. The ridge builds greatly, the trough deepens tremendously, and thus the amplitude of the upper air is no longer zonal. It is now strongly meridional flow, up and down. The cold air rushes southward from Canada. Warm, moist air rushes north and northeastward from the Gulf of Mexico. The stage is set for major storm development and intensification. The shortwave trough is called the kicker. It is like throwing gasoline on a fire. The greater the surface temperature contrast, the greater the storm potential. So that sneaky little shortwave trough that looked so innocent as it moved through the ridge out west was really the culprit causing massive storm development and deepening. Now, all this is described with diagrams on the weatherwiz.com. You go to the WeatherWiz, look for Wiz School in the upper left-hand corner of the page. When the Wiz School opens, the last item on the right-hand side of the page is Advanced Weather Forecasting. Good luck. Have some fun. Next week I'll talk about setups for tornadoes in the middle of the country, snowstorms along the East Coast, and, of course, heat waves during the summertime.
All right, Jim. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you next week. Can't wait.
Okay, Mikey.
That's Jim Witt from theweatherwiz.com, and I'm Mike Bennett. You're listening to America Weekends.
Think green. A gym owner has taken his facility green and saved huge bucks. Harrison with you. The owner of a Florida gym has turned his facility green and saved 10 grand in the first year alone. One simple move was something we all can do. Dan Rainin, owner, Weeby Fit Personal Training Center.
A myth that when you take a plastic bottle and put it in a recycling bin that it actually turns into another plastic bottle. Actually end up in a landfill, sitting there just as they were the day they were made. 1,000 years from now, they'll still be there in the same form. So we ended up with something that people used to use 50 years ago. We have stainless steel bottles. They're sanitized in a dishwasher, and we fill them with a filtered water. They get put in the refrigerator to be chilled. Clients come in, grab a bottle, drink it up, and it saves us an incredible amount of money.
Many more tips available at WeBeFit.com.
Think green with Harrison at ThinkGreenRadio.com.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This Hall of Famer won the Frank J. Selke Trophy in 1993 as the league's best defensive forward. He set an NHL record scoring 2 shorthanded goals just 4 seconds apart.
Gilmore got the pass and goes in with Clark. Center does! 2-1 Toronto!
So where is Doug Gilmore now? Doug stepped into the front office as the Maple Leafs player development advisor in 2006. After 2 years, he made the switch to coaching, getting behind the bench for the Toronto Marlies of the AHL. 4 months later, Doug left to become the head coach of the OHL's Kingston Frontenacs. He was eventually named GM of the team in 2011, a position he still holds today.
They're in my office all the time. They want to know why they're not playing as much. Why are they not playing more? And I'm not there to lie to them. You just got to be straight up, straightforward, because I've got to show them the way.
Doug Gilmore, being honest with the kids. I'm Ahmad Rashad.